All right, let's pray and then we'll start. Lord God, you are so great. You are awesome, Lord. So we pray for right now that you would just give me the words that you want me to say. Give me the words that you gave me and had me prepare. And let it go into the hearts of the ones that need to believe, Lord. Let them believe in you. Lord, you are so great and awesome. We owe everything to you. So Lord, be with us as we go through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're in John. So just a little review. John is one of the Gospels. I believe that God didn't want us to miss his son. That's why he gave us four Gospels. He's like, if you missed Matthew, there's Mark. If you skipped Mark, there's Luke. And if you happen to stumble through Luke, there's John. But I want you to see my son. I want you to behold him. I want you to look and see him and hear him. I want you to be more like him. I want you to reflect him. I tell the youth all the time, we need to reflect God. We need to reflect Jesus so that way others can see Jesus. Because as humans, we want to see things. We want to see miracles. We want to see different things. And the only way we can see Jesus is through his word and through others that are studying his word. So let's do that today. And John was written so people could understand and believe who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Messiah and God in the flesh, and his awareness that would lead us to have an abundant life, which John tells us in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. So we started off in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When was the beginning? Whenever the beginning was, wherever it was, whatever it might have been. John is telling us the Word, Jesus, was already there. So the word in Greek, logos. The Greek took this concept of logos and they said behind everything there is a perfect thought. But the Jews, they were like, that's not good enough. The Jews said that behind every thought, there must be a thinker, a creator, our God, right? So John jumps in it right away and says, in the beginning was the word logos, God, not just philosophy, but perfection, and the thinker, the creator. And then we went straight to the beginning of the Bible. And it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word God is Elohim. That word speaks of three or more, right? The Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were at the beginning. At the beginning, Jesus was there. The Word was there. So Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph, showing that he had a legal right to rule. Luke gives it through Mary that says he has a biological right to rule. But in John's Gospel, the genealogy is found right in the first verse, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right there, in the beginning. He always existed before time began. Jesus was there. The Word was there. And everything was made by Joseph, right? I mean, by Jesus, sorry. Everything was made by Jesus. I went and I said, that God is so big that he showed us with the sun and the earth, showed us how big he is. We said there was 1,300,000 Earths fit in our sun. But that wasn't big enough, right? There was another star, Arteus, and then another star, Hercules, that had 100,000,000 in it. Our God is so big, but he's so detailed also. And we went to laminin that holds everything together, the glue that holds our body together, and it looks like this, the cross. So Jesus is in everything. He's holding us together. In the verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And I told you to write this word down, believe, right? Because we're going to talk about it later. In fact, I even stopped on that last week, right? So write that down. We're going to get to that. Verse 8, John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So Jesus is the light of the world, right? He's the light that shines through us. They could see the light in John because he reflected that light. He was reflecting Jesus. In verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, but of God. It's not anything that we do. Not our families, not Calvary Chapel. We cannot do anything to save you. Man cannot will himself to be saved, but God. I love that God gives us a big but God. God does it. He does it all. Why is that? Why does God do it all? Because he loves you. He loves you guys. He gives it all to you. Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Declared in the Greek, exogelmi, which means to lead out, to explain. So whether you're helping in Sunday school or just going to work, we're supposed to expound, to show people who Jesus is. Tell others about who Jesus is. We need to expound on Jesus. So believe in the Greek. This is, I think, where we left off. Believe in the Greek. Pistuo. I got a little better this week. So verse 19. We're going to start in verse 19. So now this... Verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Why Elijah? Why Elijah? Why would they say Elijah? So Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Does that sound like John the Baptist? Sounds like it, right? But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 17:3 through 13, or 11 through 13. Jesus answered and said to him, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. So what did John say, though? He said, "No, I am not." Is this a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Because now look in Luke chapter 1, 13 through 17. "But an angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and shall call his name John. And you will have the joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." So it sounds like Elijah, right? Verse 17 is big. "He will also go before him in spirit in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow. He's coming in the spirit. So it's not a contradiction what Jesus said, right? So Elijah, through the Spirit, was there. Back to John, where John is talking with the priest. They're asking him if he's the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet. It says, "Who are you?" Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give you an answer to those who sent us? What do I say? What do you say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." So this is from Isaiah 43, verse 3. That's prophecy right there, right? That's prophecy proves the word. So this is prophecy. John had nothing to do with it. But God made it happen. Prophecy unfolding right in front of us. Verse 24 through 27. "Now those who were sent from the Pharisees," so these are the priests that were sent from the Pharisees, "and they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' And John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there stands one among you who you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loosen.'" So who is John talking about right there? Jesus, yes. Yes, he's talking about Jesus, right? Awesome. So verse 28, "These things were done in Betharba, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" But John the Baptist was born before Jesus, right? But he says, "He is before me." John is saying he was always there. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water." Wasn't John Jesus' cousin? But he says he didn't know him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? But he said he didn't know him. He didn't know that this was the Messiah until the dove came down ascending on him, right? And showed him. We'll learn about that a little bit more. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. So John is giving an eyewitness with John the Baptist. He's showing him, hey, this guy was right there. He saw all this unfold. He saw the dove ascending on him, the Holy Spirit coming down on him. He saw all that. And he's giving that eyewitness so that you can believe. Verse 33, I did not know him. He who sent me to baptize with water said to him, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is he who baptized. So John understood, hey, when he came down, this is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I'm just baptizing with water, but he is baptizing you with the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John right there is saying, this is the Son of God. I see and I'm testifying. I'm giving you my word that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. See and observe him. Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 12th hour. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Not a lot is talked about Andrew, but when he is around, he is always bringing someone to Jesus. I wish we had that kind of heart to go out, to tell our brothers, to tell our sisters that we have found our Savior. Come and see. Come and see. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the prophet. I'm not Elijah. I'm just a voice in the desert to tell you about Jesus. Come and see, and then let Jesus transform your life. As Pastor Pete was talking about, Jesus is the one that transformed your life. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. 43, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Jesus is telling us today to follow him. To follow him. Verse 44. Now Philip from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Can anything good out of Calvary Chapel come? Come and see. Come and see. Nathanael knew the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Nazareth was known for cruelness, its lacking religious beliefs or practices, showing hostility towards religion. So nothing good could come out of Nazareth, right? But Jesus saw, so verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Jesus sees you today. Whatever you're going through, Jesus sees you in all that you do. He sees you when you're doing good. He sees you when you're doing bad things. He's around you all the time. So Jesus sees you. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Upon Jesus, right? In Genesis 28:12, when Jacob had this dream, it says, "Then he dreamed and beheld a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heavens, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Jesus is that ladder. Jesus made a way for us to go to heaven. Jesus is that ladder where the angels ascend and descend, where we're going to ascend. So John uses the word believe more than 95 times. So I must ask, do you believe? Do you have enough faith? God gives it to you. God gives you that faith to believe. But what do we need to do? We need to follow Jesus. Follow what he wants for you. It's simple. It's put Jesus first in your life. So believe, which means, wait, I'm not done yet. Let's look at John 3, 1 through 3. I'm getting through this quicker than I thought. So John 3, 1 through 3. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" So why does Jesus have to tell Nicodemus to be born again? Doesn't Nicodemus believe? He's a Pharisee, one of like 625 Pharisees. But even higher than that, he's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is only about 70. He's somebody that has studied the scriptures. He's a teacher of the scriptures. Why does God have to tell him, "You have to be born again"? Born again. That means that again right there means from above. He has to be born from above. Listen to what it says in the Amplified Version. Now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a member of the Sanhedrin, among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs, these wonders, these attesting miracles that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again," listen to this part, "reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified," and then he said, "he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. He cannot unless he's born again." But I talked about believe, right? So what does believe mean? So from the dictionary today, it's to have confidence in the truth of something, to accept it as real or correct, or to think something is likely to be true. But I like reading from the Noah Webster of 1828. Listen to what it says. Believe, to credit upon authority or testimony of another, to be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another, or upon evidence furnished by reasons, arguments, and deductions of the mind, or by other circumstances than personal knowledge. We believe upon the authority of another. We always put confidence in his veracity, his truth, right? And then it gives us to expect or hope confidence, to trust. So believe, to trust. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we're putting our trust, all of our authority on Jesus. We're trusting in him. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus is having a Passover with his disciples, the Last Supper, right? You guys heard about that? Jesus breaks the bread, saying, "This is my body. Do this as in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood, which I shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then Jesus tells them, "One of you guys will betray him. No longer look to the lamb's blood that was put on the door lintels, but look at this lamb that will be crucified for you. Remember Jesus." But what are the disciples focused on? What were they focusing on? The disciples, they're questioning who will betray Jesus and arguing who is the greatest among them. Then Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." Three times. So let's pick this up in verse 39. So Luke chapter 22, 39 through 42. "Coming out," so Jesus is coming out, "he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him." So he went out to pray, right? "When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, it is your will. If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So Jesus prayed to God, if there be any other way to save us, let it be done. If there's any way to save us other than what you want me to do, then your will, but not his will, but yours be done. So believe. Believe means trust in Jesus for what he did on the cross for us. This is the only way that we can get to heaven, get to the Father. It's through that ladder of Jesus. The only way. We have to put all of our trust, all of our belief on him that has that authority, that he knows. He knows all. The worship team, can they come up? John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody. Nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we need to repent. We need to turn from whatever we're doing. If we're doing not righteousness to God, we need to turn from that. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's something we have to do daily, guys. We have to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you're trying all you can do to save your life, you're still going to lose it. You're still going to die. But whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. We'll find it. Again, John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered him, assuredly, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. So again, do you believe? Do you trust in Jesus? Then follow him. Follow him. John 4:42. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So it's not because I'm up here telling you, you need to believe. But it's because you have heard and seen Jesus through his word. We've heard and seen Jesus through his word. It's not, you don't believe on me. You believe on Jesus and what his word is telling you. That he is the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior. So as Ray said 3 weeks ago, put off the old nature. Put off that old nature, that sinful nature, that worldly nature that's out there. And put on the one true God. Believe and follow Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. If you believe today and you want to be born again, can I have some leaders come up to the front? If you believe and you want to be born again, come to the front so they can pray with you. If you can put your trust in Jesus, If you've never been born again, come. Come, you can have this everlasting life, because if you put life before Jesus, that's death. But if we put our life in Jesus, that's everlasting life. So if you're not born again and you want to, come to the front that we can pray for you. And if you put Jesus to the side, if you want to be renewed, you've already made that decision to be born again, come. Let us pray for you that you can be renewed. And let us be able to rejoice. For God is calling you to follow him. In all that you do, all the work that we go and do outside, if we're doing it as unto him, that's what he wants. He wants him to be first in all your life. So come. And if you want to be baptized today, come and see us. After Ray sings the song and prays, we'll baptize you today. So come. Don't put it off. Believe today.